Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
An absolutely stunning day of Major League Baseball. Holy crap. I don't know how many times I thought that or said it out loud to myself over the last 7 hours. Actually, 10 hours going back to when the game started. And if you were not paying attention, or let's say you were still driving home from work, or you were on your lunch break, depending on what part of the day, what part of the country, if you missed the first 27 minutes of the Braves, same division, of the Braves and Cardinals in Atlanta, you missed the game. I mean, that's how it started. 27 minutes of no mercy from St. Louis in Atlanta. And I wondered how many people actually made it to their seats by the time this whole game five at SunTrust Park had been blown up by St. Louis. You may or may not know that Atlanta traffic is absolutely a bear. It is that way in many of our cities around the United States, but in Atlanta, it sucks. And this park is not downtown. It's out in the suburbs, which means people have to drive. And so if they were running late after work or thought, okay, maybe I'll miss the first inning, but I'll get there. Did they even bother going in? And so that was how this doubleheader started. And it ended in Los Angeles with extra innings and just the second grand slam in extra innings in baseball postseason history. So we had history on the front end. We had history on the back end. We had history at the beginning. We had history at the end. An amazing day. The thrill of victory for the two road teams who got to celebrate on foreign pitchers' mounds, who got to silence the fans in these hostile stadiums, though in very different fashion. And the agony of defeat for the Braves, whose postseason streak goes on, a dubious streak. For Mike Foltynewicz, for Freddie Freeman, who both took the responsibility and the blame for what happened in Atlanta, to Clayton Kershaw and Joe Kelly and Dave Roberts and the Dodgers offense bearing a little bit of responsibility as well, having just one hit after the second inning. Man, you cannot make this stuff up. And that's what Howie Kendrick said after he hit the 10th inning grand slam that sent the Nationals to their first ever championship series. We have so much to talk about. Lots of reaction coming from Atlanta, from the visitors' clubhouses. Even now we're waiting on Davey Martinez in Los Angeles. And so there's a lot to talk about. And we want you to hear all the big moments from what was an absolutely stunning day in postseason baseball. Winner take all games, anything, and I mean anything can happen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's really not fair to call it work, is it? I mean, I have notes in front of me that do in fact mean it's work. But wow, I would have watched this even if I didn't work in the business. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. I just asked this question on Twitter, and I'm wondering if any of you have an answer. What do you think Bryce Harper's doing right now? Anyone? Anyone? And the answer of him counting his money, sleeping on a $1 million pillow, yeah, I don't think so. I think you underestimate how competitive and how badly he wanted his team to take this step and not the team that he left behind. No way. That would irk me to no end. Not to mention I would feel somewhat responsible if I were Bryce Harper. But he is rich, so I guess you're right in that respect. But money can't buy you everything. It can't buy you a spot in October. It can't buy you a spot in the NLCS. Nope. But it does mean, of course, you could have a $1 million pillow if such things existed. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Let's yap. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Easy question. What's your reaction to this stunning day in Major League Baseball history? And you can take notes like me and write down all the ways this was history. But you can just tell by the eye test, too. You know this is a day unlike any other in baseball history. Also, our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. So let's work backward. Game 5 in Los Angeles. Of course, the Dodgers attempting to get to their fourth consecutive National League Championship Series. And the offense, well, they strike first against Steven Strasburg. Strasburg, who'd been so good in game number 2, and the Dodgers were able to get to him right away. A 2-run home run from Max Muncy that kind of made that whole Jock Peterson moment irrelevant. But Peterson hit a hard ball that actually went through the bullpen door. And so initially it was called a home run, and then they reviewed it and looked at it, and it had gone through the wall, actually. And so it was a ground rule double, but Max Muncy comes along behind and has a 2-run home run. And then Kike Hernandez tacks on a solo home run in the second. And so just like that, Steven Strasburg and the Nationals are down 3-0. Strasburg did last into the sixth inning, or through the sixth inning, I should say, and never gave up another run, barely gave up another hit, and did strike out 7. So he settled down and got the job done. But Walker Buehler, 25 years old, he was the one that Dave Roberts tabbed for both the opener of the series as well as Game 5, should it go that far. He was brilliant. He allowed just 1 run in the sixth inning, only 4 hits, and a couple of times had to work his way out of jams in the top of the fifth and in the top of the sixth. He left runners on base. He came out on the mound to start the seventh, and this is where it gets all kinds of dramatic. Kurt Suzuki has a ball hit him on the wrist, and then bang, right off the bill of his helmet. So knocks his helmet off, hits him in the face. And that was obviously a scary moment, and you could really hear how sobering it was if you're watching on TV or listening on the radio, because Chavez Ravine went quiet. It was a hit by pitch, though, which meant that Yan Gomes came in to replace him. And then with 2 on, finally, Buehler gets pulled. And it's Clayton Kershaw who relieves Walker Buehler. But it's easy breezy. It's 3 pitches, and it's a strikeout of Adam Eaton, and that's it. Another threat erased, and now the Dodgers are 6 outs away. Remember when the Cardinals were 4 outs away from being eliminated? Gosh, you got to get those last few outs, and those are the hardest to get. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. This is where the moves by Dave Roberts will start to be questioned. So Clayton Kershaw stays on for the 8th. And there was talk, even as I was kind of moving around. I was watching on TV and listening to various radio broadcasts, because you get different perspectives that way. But there were even just some questions. Why Clayton Kershaw? Why not a different reliever? But Kershaw was out there to start the 8th and didn't last very long.
Kershaw's 1-0 to Rendon, swung on, hit in the air to deep left center field. Taylor going back, warning track, at the wall, he leaps, it is gone, goodbye! Bang, zoom goes Rendon on the second pitch from Clayton Kershaw. And this is now a 1-run game here in the top of the 8th inning. Here's the pitch, he swings and belts one to deep right center field, way back, going, and gone, goodbye! Halfway up the pavilion, a tremendous game, tying home run by Juan Soto. And this game is all even.
Wow, back-to-back pitches, not just back-to-back batters, but back-to-back pitches by Clayton Kershaw. And as you hear on the Nationals radio network, the game was tied. Now, Juan Soto, of course, was the one who had the go-ahead runs Well, he had the go-ahead RBI to score the go-ahead runs in the wild card game. Remember, 20 years old, eighth inning. The Nationals themselves multiple times have faced elimination. So what did he see when he faced Clayton Kershaw right after Anthony Rendon hit the solo home run?
I know he's a little struggling in the postseason. I know he gave up one homer. So maybe he's going to try to get on top of me. I just look for one pitch. He missed it, and I get it.
So Juan Soto says, I know about Clayton Kershaw's reputation in the postseason. He's a 20-year-old, right? He's just given up a home run. Maybe he's going to come after me. And so I'm ready. I'm ready to match his aggressiveness with my own aggressiveness. Juan Soto on MLB Network. Wow. Again, 20 years old. Think about the postseason resume that he's already put together in just a week. So then the game is tied and they go into the 10th. And a couple things that, and I tweeted this too, but a couple things that I kept thinking about. Number one, the bullpens. I mean, I know they had starters coming out of the bullpen and we've seen that throughout the series. Max Scherzer was up again if they needed him. And Clayton Kershaw, we just talked about him. But the idea that these two bullpens had been shaky throughout the season, I kind of wondered who's going to blink first. Which dugout makes the wrong decision? Which bullpen blinks first? Because that's what it was going to come down to. But here's something else that's really incredible. Not sure if you know this, but going back to May 24th, the date, May 24th, the Nationals and Dodgers had identical records. Not kidding you. The exact same record. So the Dodgers finish with 106 wins while the Nationals start out 19-31 and have to climb out of a hole. But going back to the date, May 24th, these two teams had played to the exact same record. Same number of wins, same number of losses. Which should tell you something about the Nationals. Once they got back to even, actually once they hit rock bottom, that's when they started to play their best baseball. And they were just as consistent as the Dodgers over that stretch. And so they go into extra innings, which seems wildly appropriate. This is after Joe Kelly gets a 1-2-3 ninth inning. And then Dave Roberts leaves him on the mound in the 10th. Instead of going to Kenley Jansen, he gives up a walk to Adam Eaton, a double to Anthony Rendon. They intentionally walk Juan Soto. They don't want to see the 20-year-old again. So the bases are loaded. And
Kelly's one strike pitch. Swinging a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back to the warning track, to the wall. It's a grand slam. Howie Kendrick has done it. They're going crazy in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of Game 5. The Nationals 7, the Dodgers 3. Do you believe it?
You know what? That's some magic right there, man. We've had a great year all year. I mean, like that start of our year, you never thought we'd be in this moment right here. Great team for the Dodgers, you know, 106 wins. But, you know, tonight we were able to best them. And, you know, they're a really good team, but, you know, one swing of the bat can change things, and I'm glad that we were able to get this series.
Howie Kendrick is a former Dodger. Also had a really difficult series up until that moment, which he hits just the second extra inning grand slam in baseball postseason history and the second grand slam of his career. The call with Dave Jagler on the Washington Nationals radio network and then Howie after the fact on MLB Network. He had an error earlier in this game. You may remember earlier in the series, he had a couple of balls go through him at first base. He'd also had some brutal at-bats. And yet here he is with the grand slam that gives the Nationals their first ever berth in a championship series. Afterwards, I heard his interview on ESPN Radio, and he said, that's probably the best moment of my career. You can't dream that up. Amazing. And so there's a lot of reaction, of course, not just from the Nationals, but also from the Dodgers. Dave Roberts explains why he stuck with Joe Kelly in the 10th inning and Clayton Kershaw facing the microphones and facing the music after another postseason failure. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Man, you're already finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then also on our Facebook page, we want your reaction to a stunning day on the postseason diamond. Thanks for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
One ball, one strike on Justin Turner. Here's the pitch. Swinging a fly ball shallow center. Racing on is Taylor. Closing on it. Dives. And he caught it. A diving catch ends the series. What a play by Michael Taylor. A diving catch. And the Nationals, for the first time in their history, will play in the National League Championship Series. They're celebrating on the pitcher's mound, jumping up and down. Michael Taylor getting surrounded near second base with a diving catch to close out the Dodgers. Final score, the Nationals 7, the Dodgers 3. The Nationals win the series 3-2, and it's on to St. Louis to play for the National League Championship.
I kind of just can see the energy get a little bit higher in our dugout, and you can see, you know, the Dodgers and their morale, and even the crowd, people started trickling out. And so, man, we just try to pounce on that and try to take advantage of it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Anthony Rendon started the rally with a solo home run off Clayton Kershaw, and he says after the game, once we tied it with the Juan Soto home run with those back-to-back shots off Kershaw, I knew we were going to win because the energy changed in the dugout. The final call of the National League Division Series on the Nationals radio network as they advance to their first ever championship series. So they've had a ton of postseason disappointment. The Braves can certainly identify. The Dodgers can identify. They haven't won a World Series since 88. I mean, you're talking about plenty of misery and dubious streaks to go around. But the Nationals and DC Sports, they've been right there. So DC Sports fans, you must be feeling good after seeing your team rally yet again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We've had some incredible resiliency from teams like the Rays and the Nationals and the Cardinals, who were down to four outs left in their postseason run unless they could somehow tie the game. And that's, of course, the Yadier Molina game, game four. So this has just been one heck of a first week of October. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Don't you love those sports storylines in which it's the most unlikely athlete, the most unlikely person who comes through with the biggest moment, the moment that they had to have, the moment that we'll remember? And that's Howie Kendrick. He's another one of those unlikely heroes. And so he spent part of his career with the Dodgers, going back to 15 and 16. He bounced from the Dodgers to the Phillies and then to the Nationals halfway through 2017. He's been in Major League Baseball for a decade and a half. He's only had one Grand Slam ever in his career before tonight, and he's the one that ends up putting Davey Martinez and the Nats into the National League Championship Series.
What I know from Howie is he's going to give me everything he has. It may not always be good, but at the end of the day, I know what I'm going to get, and I couldn't be more proud.
He's the epitome of a professional hitter. He's like 45 years old and still doing this. But, man, I mean, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to make errors. I mean, we're human. We're not, you know, perfect people. I mean, that's a part of the game, and he's not going to give up. He's just going to continue to keep on trucking, and that man can hit.
Davey Martinez and then Anthony Rendon talking about Howie Kendrick, who is the man of the hour for the Nats. But don't you love how honest Martinez is? I mean, sometimes it's not going to be very good, but he's going to give me everything he's got. And I love that about just this element of the series, that Kendrick had three errors in this series and had some terrible at-bats. And yet he's the one who has the opportunity at the end. So often sports offers this stage for redemption. It's one of my favorite things about covering sports is that athletes, because by virtue of what they do, because the sport is cyclical, because you don't get to sit and wallow in your beer, you have to go out there and do it again. We get these moments of redemption. And for Howie Kendrick, it's a moment that he'll never forget. After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, Dave Roberts, of course, left to explain why. Why go with Joe Kelly in the 10th inning? Why not bring in your closer, Kenley Jansen, who's ready, or someone else? Because Kelly had a 1-2-3 ninth, but in the 10th, he got blown up.
Kelly, you're looking at obviously a tie ball game, and Kelly goes in there, throws 10 pitches, and he's throwing the baseball really well. He's arguably our most, you know, rested reliever in the way he was throwing the baseball. So I felt it was pretty easy. Don't have a lot of guys as far as, you know, behind Kenley. I liked Joe right there in that spot. I really did. After 10 pitches, there was no stress, ball coming out well. And so for him to go out there and take down that inning and to have Kenley take down the other part of the order, I felt really good about it. And as far as that, second and third, nobody out. You're in a tie ball game. Yeah, you could go to Kolarik. Infield's going to be in. Hope for a punch, but I just felt that Joe had a good chance to put Howie on the ground and potentially then get Kenley on Zimmerman. And so my thought was to try to get a ground ball right there.
And so he thought that Joe Kelly looked fresh, could get out of it. And so he leaves him out there. And again, the way that 10th inning went, Kelly offers up a walk to Adam Eaton and then gives up the double to Anthony Rendon, and they intentionally walk Juan Soto. There are the bases loaded, and he sticks with Joe Kelly. And then Kendrick comes to the plate. In fact, even as I'm looking at the TV now, MLB Network showing that home run and will show that moment over and over and over again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What about Clayton Kershaw? Lots of talk about Joe Kelly. They were even going into the 10th inning, but it was Clayton Kershaw who gave up those back-to-back home runs. In fact, on two pitches, he allows the Nationals to tie the game.
I had one job to do, just get three outs, and got one out, and didn't get the other two, and they went over the fence. Cost us the game right there, so... It's a terrible feeling. There's no excuses. Just didn't make pitches and guy hit it over the fence twice.
Clayton Kershaw has a Hall of Fame resume, but no doubt that these moments in the postseason will come back to haunt him. Now, he'd never given up a home run in relief in the playoffs, but year after year, even though he's had a lot of impressive moments and a lot of wins in the postseason, he's also had some of these almost unexplainable hiccups in the playoffs. And just seeing the video of him on the mound, crouched down, just seeing the facial expression, same thing as watching Mike Foltynewicz standing in the corner of the dugout in a 27-minute top of the first inning, as the Cardinals are plating run after run after run in the earlier game five. Gosh, I am so appreciative that we can see these moments because you can really feel the emotions, both positive and negative, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. But sometimes I almost feel guilty watching these moments of private pain for athletes. And I know that's part of the deal. I'm a girl. I got a heart. I feel bad for the guys who have these nightmares that they almost can't get over. I mean, they'll never forget these moments. Sure, you have another opportunity. You show up, you do it again, unless you're Brian McCann, who's retiring, and we'll get to that too. But gosh, I love to praise the Cardinals and the Nationals for what they've done, but I also just, I feel it for the Dodgers and the Braves and the individuals who will take this home with them and have a hard time getting over it. All right, lots of you finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Mike says this, 2 weeks ago, I was worried the Cardinals were going to miss the playoffs. Now they have home field advantage in the NLCS. St. Louis has some good juju going on this year. Hashtag go Blues, hashtag go Cards. 855-212-4227. We'll get to that fateful first inning from the earlier Game 5, your calls, your reaction to a stunning day in Major League Baseball. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
He comes set, and he pitches. Swing and a line drive is a base hit in the right field, and the Cardinals take the lead. It's 1-0. Here it is. It's inside, ball four. And in to score is the Cardinal first baseman, Goldschmidt, and it's 2-0. 0-1 pitch, swing and a smash, fair pass, first base. That's going to score at least two, maybe three. One run in, two runs in, and a nice play by the right fielder. He cuts it off, and a big two-run double by Tommy Edman. And the Cardinals grab an early lead, and the eighth man to bat in the inning is DeJong. The 1-0 pitch to Fowler. He could do it. He had 19 during the regular season. Swing and a smash past third. That's going to open the bases. It could clear the bases. One run in, two run in. They're going to stop the runner at third now, and the Cardinals lead 7-0. Here is the pitch to Colton Wong. Runners at second and third, infield in. Swing and a line drive into left center. That's going to score two more, and the Cardinals lead 9-0. First inning action, Cardinals lead 9-0. Here's the pitch to Osuna. Swing, and it gets away from the catcher, and he goes down to first base, and he's safe at first, and the run scores, and it's 10-0. Wow.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm glad that I had gotten my coffee, had already walked Penny, and was in place for the top of the first inning. I was all excited about a Game 5 doubleheader, and I'm glad that I wasn't slow and kind of shaking the cobwebs out, because I would have missed that stunning first half hour. 27 minutes is what it took for the Braves to get the Cardinals out before Jack Flaherty ever took the mound. You hear the highlights for the Cardinals, or the lowlights if you're a Braves fan, and I know we have a big audience in Atlanta having to relive this. A walk, a sacrifice, an infield hit, an RBI single, an error by Freddie Freeman on a ball that could have ended the inning. It was a tailor-made double play. Even though it was a hard-hit ball, Freeman took responsibility and said, I could have gotten out of that with one run across the plate. Then after that, a bases-loaded walk, a two-run double, another walk, and Mike Foldynewicz is gone after a third of an inning. Max Fried enters the game, a walk, back-to-back two-run doubles, a wild pitch on what would have been a strikeout to Marcell Ozuna, allowing the 10th run. The most runs scored in a single inning of a division series or a winner-take-all game in baseball history. And get this, without a home run. That doesn't happen in 2019. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As you can imagine, that took a lot of pressure off Jack Flaherty, who is tapped to start as the ace for the Cardinals. By the time he gets on the mound, he's got a massive cushion.
And that's going to surprise anybody. Our guys are going to go out and do their job. But 10 runs is something else. That's something else to really get right there. So you get 10 runs like that, and it makes my job easier, but also, you know, we got to stay locked in and go out and put up zero as much as we can, keep shutting them down.
He did do that. Six innings pitch for Jack, a run on four hits and eight strikeouts. Meanwhile, for Brian Snitker and the Atlanta Braves, I mean, what do you say? I even tweeted this after the game, after that first inning. I'm just at a loss for words. Sometimes there are no words to describe a moment like this, and extends the Braves postseason drought to now 10 straight rounds, which matches the Cubs for the longest in history. And I mean, that kind of thing just doesn't happen in a Game 5.
Yeah, I don't know. Wasn't how we drew it up, I know that. But I don't know. That thing just kept rolling, and we couldn't stop it. Anybody.
Sometimes there aren't really words to describe it, and no matter how long you take, it's hard to process So the St. Louis Cardinals move on to their first NLCS since 2014. And this is after they were four outs away from getting eliminated in game four. Listen to this. This is something certainly that tells you more about the Cardinals organization than I could with a whole bunch of superlatives. The Cardinals are 28-18 all time in postseason games when they face elimination. 28-18. That's an incredible track record. And it speaks to the tradition, the leadership, and the quality of players that they bring on board. 855-212-4227. We'll get more reaction from Los Angeles and Atlanta, but I want to hear from you. Let's start with Travis, who's in Alberta, Canada. Welcome to After Hours.
Thanks, Amy, for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm absolutely over the moon.
For
the Nationals, and the baseball gods have smiled on our franchise today. It's unbelievable. I just got home from work, and I was listening to the game on Nationals radio.
Mm-hmm.
I had my parents on speakerphone in the 10th inning just to share the moment with them.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, where are they?
They're in Vulcan, Alberta.
Okay. And so what was their reaction?
They couldn't believe it. It's been such a long time for us. I mean, we remember the 1981 series with the Expos Dodgers,
mm-hmm.
and we've been tortured by Rick Monday's home run ever since then. And to see Kendrick hit that grand slam was just unbelievable. You could put the two side by side and juxtapose them.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I know for fans of the Montreal Expos, but now the Nationals, it's been a long time coming. And just for them, even since they've moved to D.C. to exercise some of these playoff demons, I mean, they'd so many times run into a team that was better, or they had shot themselves in the foot and had leads and not been able to hold them. And so this is, yeah, it's pretty incredible. It's a little bit, reminds me a little bit of the feeling and the excitement around the Capitals finally winning their first Stanley Cup after all of their playoff futility.
Yeah, sure. This is, as far as I'm concerned, the series was our World Series. And there's a lot of redemption for us tonight.
You're done? You're okay now? You don't care what happens moving forward?
I mean, everything else from this point is gravy because we've gone a lot further than I thought we would be, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, you know what? Now playing with house money, Travis.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much for your phone call. I'm glad your family enjoyed it.
All right. Thank you. Have a great night, Amy.
Let's talk to Michael, who's in Maryland. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Amy, how are you? Why not us? Why not now? Caps and Nats. We ain't got no football team, but we got a baseball team in nation's capital. Hallelujah, there is a God.
You also have a WNBA team that is on the verge of winning a title.
How about them girls? Look,
women. No. They're not girls at that level. They're women.
Look, excuse me. They are women. Women, absolutely. Yes. They're awesome women. Let's put it that way. But talking about awesome, how about the Caps, man? They run, and they hang in there all the way through. Look at the pictures. Look, Strasburg. Look, I was at Strasburg's debut time, and I made the playoffs right when he got off the mound. And there he came, hung in there all the way, scored the three. We have Faith Springs Eternal, man. Faith Springs Eternal. We hung in there, and boom and a blast. You got to love postseason baseball. Come on, postseason baseball.
I do. I'm not sure that anything's better than October. October is my favorite month of the year in sports.
Absolutely. Anyway. Nats. Why not us? Why not now? And that's from head usher of Famous Amos at Nationals Park. He's awesome.
Awesome.
Shout out to Famous Amos.
All right, Michael. I'm glad you're excited.
I got him a champagne right here. Champagne, a bottle of beer. It's a toast. Cheers to Nats.
Wait, I hope you're not driving then.
No. Okay, that was last Friday night. All the best.
Really. All right, Michael. Bye, Jared is listening in Ventura, California. Jared, welcome to After Hours.
How you doing, Amy?
Great.
I just want to say, can we give it up for some fun October baseball?
Yeah, it was amazing.
It has been so fun, except for the Yankees-Twin series and the Cardinal game today. It has been so close, and it has been so fun. I love listening to Mike Shannon. I'm a huge Cardinals fan, but I get that nostalgia from back then. You know, I would rather listen to games than watch them. I am so excited for baseball right now. It is so much fun.
I would agree with that. I mean, considering the number of teams that we've had on the ropes or that we've had in elimination games who've rallied, I mean, both of these road teams with the Nationals and with the Cardinals were kind of hanging there. Not to mention the Nationals had to go through a wild card game and they were nearly eliminated a week ago. And so it's phenomenal, the roller coaster ride that we've seen, the ebbs and flows, but also to have just big picture. Three game fives in four series. We have another one tomorrow with the Astros and the Rays. The Rays have also been 3-0 in elimination games over this past week, and they are also going into Houston with no pressure. It's all the Astros. It's kind of in the same situation as the Dodgers were tonight.
Oh, for sure. I think baseball needs this kind of excitement right now. Everybody this whole year has been talking about baseball's boring. But when October comes, man, is it exciting, especially this year. You've got the Yankees and the Twins, we can kind of exclude that. But, man, I it's so exciting. Like, I'm on the edge of my seat listening to every game. I'm out here in Southern California as a Cardinals fan, and I'm listening to the Dodgers wanting them to win so that I can go see a Cardinals-Dodgers game out here. You know, and then they get beat by the Nats, and I'm – in this Cowie Hendrick Grand Slam, I'm like, no, but yes, it's so awesome.
You just called him Cowie Hendrick, which, you know, I've done that before, but...
Sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry. I do that sometimes. That's funny. Well, I'm glad you're excited. Certainly, though, I would say October's recently have been in the same mold because, even going back to 2017, right? We had Astros and Dodgers go seven games for a World Series. The year before that, we had Indians and Cubs go into extra innings in Game 7 for a World Series. That was after the Indians were down 3-1 to Chicago and had to rally to force a seventh game. We've had some pretty amazing championship series as well. So I feel like we've had some good October runs in the last 5 years.
For sure. I mean, thank you for taking my call, and I really appreciate it.
All right, Jared, enjoy as a Cardinals fan. 855-212-4227. Again, that's our toll-free line. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I thought this was an insightful tweet, and I kind of mentioned it, but it's worth pointing out again. This is from DJ Walmix, who is a Dodgers fan. Before we start blaming Clayton Kershaw for this loss, how many runs did we score after the second inning? You have to hit to win in the postseason. Same story the last 3 years. I don't blame the pitching. In my opinion, Dave Roberts has to go. Wait, so if you don't blame the pitching, you blame the hitting. Why is that on Dave Roberts? I would agree with you about the hitting. The Dodgers did get a 3-run lead early, but they had one hit going into extras after that second inning. And so they really didn't add on. They weren't able to mount any type of a rally. So let's talk about it, and we'll get more reaction from both Atlanta and Los Angeles. An incredible day of baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.